Good morning. Welcome to the Mr. Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Mottram. It is Thursday, February 11th. Here to talk about the Washington football team's pursuit of a quarterback or even multiple quarterbacks. It's the Dak Prescott to my Andy Dalton, Matt Turrell. Hey, Matt.
We were just discussing that this is a flat organization and that nobody is ahead of anyone else. And then you go and you do that thing where you make me the starter and you the backup. And I don't think that's fair to either of us. Hi, Jamie.
Andy Dalton's pretty good.
Well, we'll get to him.
Pretty good relative to what we have.
I'm looking at my the rundown here for the show, and Andy Dalton would be item 2I, Roman numeral 5. So we'll get to him. Don't you worry.
Okay. All right. Should we start with Heinicke?
I suppose we should.
Yeah. Yep. So he got a deal yesterday, and I'm both happy that he's returning for 2 years, according to the contract. And also hoping that he never takes a snap, another snap.
Yeah, I agree, although I can't even be that cut and dried. I'm excited. I think I'm glad they're giving him a chance, and he'll get a chance to compete. And he played well, so he should be rewarded. But I'm not that convinced. It seems like an awful lot of people really believe in Taylor Heinicke.
I don't know that that's true, because the deal was, 2 years, $8 million, and I don't know exactly what the guarantee on it was, but maybe a couple million. I'm not sure. Do you know exactly?
I just mean the fans.
Oh, the fans. Going to say, because if people really believed in him across the league, he would have gotten a lot more money than that.
But what I will say that whatever it breaks down to, and I didn't see what the guarantees are, but let's assume that it's, you know, a quarter of what was announced or whatever, that it's like $2 million total over 2 years.
Right.
Even so, he's being paid significantly more than Kyle Allen will be if they exercise, you know, Kyle Allen's whatever it is, restricted tender, whatever it is that they do for him. It's like $850,000. So there is a vote of confidence, but I was mainly talking about the fans, who a number of them seem to think that he is a legitimate candidate to be the starter.
That's odd.
Yeah. I'm skeptical. And we talked about it after his big game. Like, I guess everybody would have been skeptical of Kurt Warner. You know, when that started happening, and after a certain number of games, I guess you eventually look back and say, no, he was good after all. But standing here from this point and looking at it in the future.
How many games is that? I feel like it needs to be like 8 games.
Oh, it does.
Like it's like some number way more than one.
Oh, it definitely is. And that's what I'm saying. But I mean, like, you can't get to 3 without having the chance at 2. Sure. And you can't, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Sure.
And I'm sure there were people who, when Kurt Warner came in and had a great game in the season opener, were like, all right, that got us through 1. Now, if we can just go out there and sign, you know, Scott Mitchell. I don't remember who else was out there at the time. But, like, I'm sure there were people who thought that it was a fluke and you come back. That's the best case scenario. I want to reiterate this real clear. I am not saying Taylor Heinicke is Kurt Warner. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess if it turns out he is, I'd rather they paid him to find out rather than losing him and then finding out with some other team that he was Kurt Warner.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just happy that he's back. I think his legend only grows, you know, a month later.
Well, I will say it definitely does. And I'm more optimistic about him than Kyle Allen, which I don't know if that's fair to Kyle Allen, because I don't have a really good concrete reason for it. Kyle Allen has certainly started more games than Taylor Heinicke.
I guess
has.
I'm slightly more optimistic about Heinicke. I mean, he had the one game where he played at a very high level, and I don't know that Kyle Allen has ever showed that. Yet, remove that one game from the equation, and we'd all feel better about Kyle Allen.
Agreed. You
know, his body of work. Yeah.
But this leads us to where we are now, is that Heinicke is definitely on the roster. Kyle Allen, they have the team option on for cheap, so we can pretty safely assume that he'll be back. I think we can safely assume that Alex Smith will not be back at his, like, $25 million or whatever it supposedly is. And I sort of suspect he won't be back at all. So as we go through this insane list of potential quarterbacks, the question really now is this somebody you would want more than Allen or Heinicke? You would want to compete with Allen or Heinicke, or you would rather just roll with Allen and Heinicke? That's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I will say with Smith, like, it doesn't sound like he'd be coming back at the full dollar amount. I hope, it sounds messed up to say, I hope he doesn't come back at all.
Me too.
You know, I don't want to roll it back with the trio of Smith, Allen, Heinicke, not necessarily in that order. Like that to me is like a 2020 quarterback play redux, just without Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Okay. And, but you don't want to have him be like, well, guys, I'm coming back. And then have the team have to be like, okay. And we're cutting Alex Smith. Goodbye.
Yeah. He gets to do what he wants to do. It seems like he got a pretty damn near storybook finish to a good career.
Yeah. Already. Hopefully he's working with the team, and somebody with, you know, some social skills, one of these newer people, not one of the old people, is, you know, working with him to find a smooth off ramp and get him out with his dignity intact and the team's, you know, not looking like the bad guys. That's the goal here.
So I think we all fell in love with Matt Stafford as QB1 going forward. Even I, who initially was very lukewarm on Matt Stafford, became quite enamored by the time that he was dealt to the Rams. First of all, we haven't talked about that. The thing with the Stafford deal that sort of bothers me is I feel like people have been duped into thinking that Jared Goff has any value and not understanding that the Rams either threw in a full extra first round pick just to unload Goff, or at least some large portion of that first round pick to unload Goff. And the Lions were in a pretty unique position to like absorb the hit. Like, they're not competing the next couple of years. They have the money. Like, why not take on Goff and get that extra pick? I don't even know what point I'm trying to make, but I feel like people are like, it was two first round picks in the third rounder and Jared Goff for Matt Stafford. And it's like, well, I don't know. It was kind of more like they were taking on a lot of baggage with that deal too.
If you're right, and I believe you are, I also think so, but you know, if that's the correct read on the situation, I certainly wish Washington had gotten involved and said, you know what, we'll take him off your hands for just a second, and you know, him in a second for a seventh or something. Because is Goff good? No, maybe. But is Goff, would I rather throw Goff into the mix with Heinicke and Allen? Yeah, I would. And get an extra second round pick out of the deal? Like, definitely. I think it was a real mistake getting in on that.
It's an interesting hypothetical. I mean, I don't know that LA would have wanted to deal with Washington, because they probably only would want to unload Goff in a scenario where they could get a good quarterback. They're a contending team. Like, they need a quarterback.
But if you're right, and they could have done it. I'm not talking about Washington getting involved with the Stafford thing. I'm saying trade
with the Goff thing.
I'm saying get involved with the Goff thing, but I'm saying the Rams could have been two separate deals. Just get Stafford for the first and the third or whatever, and then get rid of Goff for a second instead of getting rid of Goff for a second first, if that's really all they were trying to do.
It does sound like Washington was at least in on Stafford and made like a competitive offer. They just, you know, the circumstances were against us, and we missed out on the Stafford thing. And that's unfortunate, because now we're going to go through the list, you know, be our guide here. I don't really have a target. Like, there isn't necessarily a guy that I want anymore.
Yeah, but I thought your I assume, half-joking tweet about the Stafford trade after the fact was the truest thing I saw, which was, oh, good, now Stafford can go back to just being a kind of above-average quarterback. Or what? I forget exactly what you said, but the point was basically, when he was available, totally fired up. Would have been great. But now that he was traded, I'm like, would it have been so good? Did we really want that? So before we run through this list, what is your sort of overall philosophy? Like, are you ready to give up a first-round pick or two first-round picks for a quarterback? Or do you have an overall feeling on this?
I think they have to get right at quarterback. And I don't think there's like a limit to the pursuit of happiness on that front. Like, Chase Young is on the table. First round picks are on the table. One of the most ridiculous things I think I've seen the past month was a story with a headline. It was something about, like, you know, NFL 2020 redraft. Would you take Justin Herbert over Chase Young? Because some, you know, like ESPN analyst did that.
Yeah.
They took Burrow number one and Herbert number two Of course.
Absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Like, absolutely. 100%. Of course. Herbert had one of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons ever, and by all indications is a franchise quarterback, like stud in the making. But it was a question, and like the supporting analysis wasn't even like, this is a no-brainer. It was like, would you?
I'm just saying
this to frame the conversation. Like, quarterback is obviously the most important thing.
Well, so yes, agreed, except that there's factors and there's different levels of like, so I would trade, not only would I, in a redraft, trade Chase Young for Justin Herbert, I would trade Chase Young in this year's first round pick for Justin Herbert. I genuinely would, if the opportunity presented itself.
Well, that's come up, you know, like with Deshaun Watson, you know, like, would you give 3 first rounders? Would you give 2 first rounders and a Montez Sweat? Would you give 1 and a Chase Young? I think the answer to all of the above is yes.
See, for Watson, maybe, although the difference there is you... The part of the value of Herbert right now is that you have him on his rookie deal. So you have both a star quarterback.
He's even more valuable. Yeah.
The bargain of a rookie deal. So, all right. So let's start going through this list because I've got it in front of me. The first one up here would be Watson. If the Texans do make him available for trade, the price will be insane. But how do you feel? Should they go for Watson? You say yes, I think.
I mean, just picture a world in which you have a arguably top 5 quarterback entering his prime for the next several years. That'd be incredible.
So if he were available, you would give up literally whatever it took to get him. True?
Well, not literally whatever it took. I mean, I threw out a few very specific deals that I think that Washington should take. You know, like if you were to say this year's first rounder and the next 2 first rounders after that, so 3 total first rounders. With the complete understanding this is the Washington football team we're talking about, and those next 2 could be like top 5 picks, I would say yes to that.
All right. Okay. I'm a little more lukewarm. I remembered recently that I finished the season making the argument that, like, this team looked decent with incredibly below average quarterback play. And that at the time I was saying, you know, maybe settling for somebody is the move. And I've kind of come back around to that. You'll see that as we go through here. I'm no longer... Maybe for Watson, I would do the 3 first rounders or the equivalent. But beyond that, I'm not sure that I would.
Well, one thing that I would say on Watson and like giving up so much for him, part of why I'm supportive of that is that I'm not real high on the other options. And I'm really not high on going back into next year with Taylor Heinicke as our quarterback.
But he's Taylor Heinicke.
So it's all relative. It's not just like, trade the farm for Watson. It's like, if we don't do that, and I don't think we will, I think Houston would probably rather deal with a partner like Jacksonville or Miami or San Diego, you know, somebody who can give them back either a pick or a player who is a franchise quarterback. Washington doesn't have that to offer.
No. All right. Next one on our list, and these are in no particular order, I think, is Wentz, Carson Wentz. Eagles, if they were to move on from him, would have to be a trade, I believe. Do you give up anything for Wentz?
I'm intrigued by Wentz. I would not want to... I'd want his value to be like less than Stafford's for sure. I don't know what the trade hypotheticals are around him. If it's more than 1 first rounder, get out.
I would say that I would not trade anything for Wentz. If they suddenly said, you know what, we're going with the other guy, we're cutting him, I would be willing to take a flyer on signing him, but I would not trade for him.
Yeah. I mean, if you could get him for nothing or close to nothing, then awesome. You know, but it's such a weird case. Like, could you even imagine having this conversation a year ago about Carson Wentz?
No,
his first 3 to 4 years in the league, he was a stud, like a top 10 guy, no doubt. He was an MVP candidate at various points. And this past year was so strangely abysmal. So I'm very intrigued by Wentz, but yeah, I'd hesitate to give up a lot for him. I'd be excited if they somehow got him for nothing.
Agreed. Next up is we have Mariota and Carr on the same line, but I think at this point we should probably split them up. Mariota was the one who was floating in rumors yesterday. I kind of feel the same about him as I do about Wentz. I'm intrigued by him. I think there's a lot of possibility there, but I do not want to give up anything. I wouldn't even give up the equivalent of a first-round pick for him. If you can get him for like a third or something, maybe give us give
a
shot.
Well, the difference with Mariota, I mean, also a high pick and also, you know, has, you know, similar amount of experience as a QB1 in the NFL, but he never had like the highs that Wentz had. You know, like I think there was an ongoing argument when he was the quarterback in Tennessee. It's like, is Marcus Mariota good? Is he going to get better? I don't know that he was ever at that like really high level. So I don't know what the expectation is there. It's, I think the expectation is like, oh, he could be okay. And he's like a mobile quarterback. Like it could be interesting. But I don't think the value is there to give it up for him.
You know, but talking about him, I agree with everything you just said for his current value. But talking about him reminds me that, like, he was a first-round pick who was – I don't remember there being a lot of doubt with him coming out. He was one of those guys, you know, talked about all the good intangibles and all the good skills and everything. I mean, am I misremembering his draft evaluation?
He was not just a first-round pick. He was the second pick in the draft. So, I mean, he was a really, like, well-built, mobile quarterback who had performed at a very high level at Oregon. And so, yeah, I mean, he checked off a lot of boxes, you know, he was the second pick.
So my point is that whenever we start talking about rookies or even picks that will turn into rookies, you know, Mariota is the kind of guy you hope you're getting into position to draft. And
yeah.
Now we're talking about he's on his second team. His other team is being led by a guy who was previously thought to be a washout. He's and we're talking about, would we give up a third round pick for him? So just really thinking about it in those terms. I don't know.
Well, what I'm about to say is only going to bolster your argument. Do you remember the number one pick in the 2015 draft ahead of Mariota?
I can't believe, was it Winston? Who was it?
It was Jameis Winston.
It was.
Another guy who checked a lot of boxes coming out of college. I mean, some of them bad, but
yeah. Like that. Have you stolen crab legs from a Publix? Yeah. Check. Yeah. So that's the thing.
On Derek Carr, I think you texted me recently. I don't even remember like what the source material was here, but you were like, "Would you trade two first rounders for Derek Carr?" And I've never said fuck no like faster or louder in my life.
Yeah.
What was that?
Somebody floated. I forget what. Oh, it was that Washington was going to get involved in a three-way deal with Houston and Las Vegas, whereby Washington would essentially send two firsts for Carr, which would give Vegas the ammo to send, I think, four firsts for Deshaun Watson. It was something like that. I don't remember exactly, but it was one of those times where I was just looking at the headline, like. Similar to what you said about the what question was it? You were just, whatever, it doesn't matter. It was one of those times where I'm like, why is this a question? Oh, the redraft question. Why is this a question? No, the answer is no.
Well, this is classic, like, internet content framework is like, if the answer is obviously no, just frame it as a question.
Frame it as a question. The inverse, if a headline is a question, it means that the answer is no.
Yes.
Always.
Carr is interesting, though. Like, I feel like the only times I've watched him, like, he has showed out, like the Raider, like the Oakland, whatever, Las Vegas, Kansas City game this year. He kind of went toe to toe with Mahomes and they won and it was great. But also his numbers are pretty impressive. Like, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, especially this year. He had a great year.
He's played between 15 and 16 games every year, you know, 7-year career. His QB rating over time is 92, and it has progressively gone up. It was over 100 each of the last 2 years. His record as a starter is not good because he's played for the Raiders. It's 47 and 63. I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, I think he's a good quarterback, but it's a question, not a statement. And he's kind of like the consolation prize for losing out on Matt Stafford.
Yes. He also, despite everything you just said, I cannot justify giving up significant capital for him. Again, you know, like, would you give a single first for Carr? Would you give this year's first for Carr?
So I don't know the answer to that. Like, I don't even know that he's available. I'm not sure why or what his status is. I know he's been floated around and, you know, he's on our list. But I might, depending on the contract situation, like, would you rather draft a first rounder and, you know, whatever, add a linebacker, add a receiver, or have Derek Carr under contract for the next 3 years?
Personally, I would rather take either the linebacker or the receiver. My fear is that they don't do that. My fear is that they would be compelled to go quarterback with that pick. And if you're going to go quarterback with that pick, I would rather have Derek Carr. Because back to this sort of the – is it the inverse or the converse of our Mariota discussion is that while Carr was not highly touted, he's an NFL quarterback. Worst case scenario, he is a like rock solid NFL starter. And you can't be guaranteed you'd get that with the guy you would take at 19.
That's interesting. I think Carr is like right on that dividing line of like, would you give up the first for him?
But again, I would rather not give up the first. I would rather, especially after watching the Super Bowl and seeing the difference in Tampa's defense when they're facing Taylor Heinicke without Devin White and Vita Vea, and then when they're facing Patrick Mahomes with those guys, like, I want a linebacker. I want one of those linebackers. Really do.
Well, I guess he's right on my dividing line. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily want Derek Carr, but again, I would much rather have Derek Carr than going into the season with Heinicke as the likely starter.
Now, if you told me I could get Derek Carr without giving up a first, whether it's for like the 2 seconds or a second and two thirds, then I'd be considering it. Maybe, maybe not. Second and two thirds sounds like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, Carr was drafted 36th. I love seeing where these guys came from. You know, he's been part of the fabric of the league for like 6 or 7 years.
I forgot that he was a second rounder. I thought he was a third rounder. That's interesting.
Yeah. Fresno State might have had something to do with that.
Yeah, certainly could have.
All right. Who else we got?
Darnold. Question mark. He's another one where either they would need to decide they're moving on and trade him or cut him or something. I will say that JP Finley on the NBC Sports Washington podcast and of his new radio show, congrats, JP. He has been talking to various Jets insiders, you know, and beat reporters and whatever, who have had literally nothing favorable to say about Sam Darnold. They say he's wildly inaccurate, lacks leadership skills, and is just generally unimpressive. The main counterargument to this is that you're hoping that he has the same track record when leaving Adam Gase that what's his name in Tennessee did.
Tannehill.
That's the guy. And I don't know. I think Darnold, if you get him on the cheap somehow, great, but that's not going to happen. So I'd rather just roll with Heinicke and Allen and, you know, one of these lesser guys that we're going to get to shortly.
I mean, Darnold's intriguing, though. Yeah, again, third overall pick 3 years ago. Checks all the boxes coming out of college. And it's been rough, but he plays for the Jets. I'm actually under surprised. Under Adam Gase. I'm actually looking at his 2019. I'm surprised. He had 13 starts. In those 13 starts, the Jets went 7-6. And his numbers weren't terrible. You know, 84 rating. Like he's
what was his completion percentage?
In 19, 62.
Okay. So it's not as bad as they're making it sound.
I mean, his numbers really sucked this year. He went 2-10. His completion percentage dipped under 60. He had more picks than touchdowns. You know, I mean, it was a bad year. I don't know. I'd be intrigued. So, if they could get him for, I don't know, what's cheap? What's getting Sam Darnold for cheap? Is it like a third rounder?
I don't think that they're ready to do like the Josh Rosen deal with him. I think they're going to be expecting a first back at a minimum.
I wouldn't feel good about that. I'd rather take an unknown college quantity or like use that pick on a non quarterback than trade it for Darnold.
I would trade a second for Darnold. I would say a second or lower. I'm good, but nothing more. All right, next up is, and this is where I started adding in increasingly urgent Intero Bangs to the end of the quarterback's names. This would be Dak Prescott coming off 2 ankle surgeries, technically a free agent, but it seems likely that he'll be given the franchise tag. However, maybe they'd give him the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means you would have to give up 2 first-round picks to sign him. Or they might decide to do some sort of franchise and trade deal where if they think they can get somebody else, you know, a Watson or a high-round pick or something. I texted you about this also, and your reaction was also non-enthusiastic. Is that accurate?
This just doesn't seem like a real option. Like Dak Prescott?
It doesn't, but I will tell you, I would actually even take Dak over Watson, I think, given what the price is going to be. But if you can, if they were
That's
to put...
That's interesting. Yeah.
And here's my...
price, yes, but I mean, yeah.
Here's my reasoning. The way I see it happening is like threefold. One is Jerry Jones doesn't like being like, you know, shown up in a deal. So his graceful out is you put the guy on a non-exclusive franchise tag. And then if somebody, you know, signs him and gives you two firsts, you get to crow about how you turned a fourth round pick into two first round picks. And then maybe you use those two firsts plus your first to go get somebody, whether it's Watson or get up to the top and get Trevor Lawrence or so. There's ways narratively that Dallas could justify this happening. And if he were to be given the non-exclusive tag, I would want them to get him on a plane immediately. I would be fired up for that. I think he's really good. So Dak is my top choice.
Yeah, my hesitation there is it gives me Donovan McNabb vibes.
He's like a decade younger than Donovan McNabb, isn't he? When he came here.
I know, but there's something about like their build and like throwing style and the fact it's a division rival and that potentially they might be, you know, past their best in this case due to injury. I don't know. I'm just not into the Dak Prescott option.
Fair enough. The injury is the big question mark. It's also another reason why Dallas might choose to make this decision, whether they know something or they, mm-hmm. you know, are just hedging their bets. I'm looking now. I didn't realize he's been in the league since 2016. Up until last year, he had started every game for four straight seasons. Then obviously last year, we all know what happened. I don't know. His numbers are really good. The dude threw for 4,902 yards and 30 touchdowns in 2019. That was just 2 years ago.
Their nickname, Dallas's nickname coming into the season for the offense was Team 40 Burger, because that's how high powered the offense was with Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, I would be trying real hard to make that happen. You're right, though. There's probably no way it's going to happen. We can probably move on to the next one, which is in all caps with multiple interrobangs, and it's Russell Wilson, question
mark. What is this word that you keep using, interrobangs?
Interrobang, it's the punctuation that's an exclamation point and a question mark together.
Interrobang. Did you just make that up?
No. You can Google it. That's an actual thing.
All right. I'm sorry. Who are you interrobanging here?
I am going to just get out there and interrobang the lively Russell Wilson, who apparently is dissatisfied in Seattle and wants to go somewhere else. Is it weird that I have no interest in Russell Wilson?
Is Aaron Rodgers also on this list? Are you
no.
on crack?
No, I did not. I didn't go that far. But I have no
you
interest in Russell
you,
Wilson.
You're not interested in Russell Wilson.
Correct.
Russell Wilson is like short Peyton Manning. I don't know where I'm coming from with that, but I feel like he's like just the most well-prepared, like football-minded, just like pure, like dedication to the craft quarterback. And if you have him, like you basically have a coach, GM, quarterback all rolled up into one on the field.
And you might point out that he threw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns last year, and that he has started 16 games in every season since 2012. All of that is true.
It was drafted between RG3 and Kirk Cousins, and ever since, I have just looked at him with a yearning.
That's my problem. I have not looked at him with a yearning. I have been bitterly resentful of him, and I don't know that I could shake that resentment if he came here. That said, if they were really making him available, he's older than significantly older than Watson. How many first round picks are you giving up for him?
I have no idea what the contract situation is. I'd happily give up three first rounders for Russell Wilson.
Okay. I'm not there. He's 32.
I don't even like Russell Wilson. Like, I think he's a corny dude. Like, everything I've ever seen him like post or like, you know,
just awful. Just the worst.
Yeah, it's not great. It's actually RG3 vibes.
It was strong RG3 vibes.
But I just really I really respect him as a player. Like, I think he's just an awesome player and elevates the whole team around him. Like, there's that whole I can't remember. I think it's Daniel Jeremiah. Like some quarterbacks are trucks and some quarterbacks are trailers or whatever. Yeah. Like he's a truck.
Good Lord. I did not realize just how much he had been sacked, though. My God, those numbers are astronomical. He's been sacked more than 45 times each of the last 3 years. More than 50 times in 2018. Anyway, all right, well, that's not happening. Let's move on with our lives.
Before we get to the leftovers, let's just call them that. Whatever happened to Matt Ryan? He was in the conversation there at the beginning. It was like, well, if we don't get Stafford, we'll get Ryan. I feel like I haven't heard Ryan's name in like 3 weeks.
There's something about the new Atlanta administration. People seem to think they're going to stick with Ryan one more year because of the way the contract breaks. I have no interest in Matt Ryan whatsoever. I would genuinely rather start Taylor Heinicke next year than have Matt Ryan, full stop.
Did Matt Ryan just like post some anti-Semitic shit on Instagram or something? Like,
no, that was what's her name? Cara Dune from the Mandalorian.
Cara Dune dropped the bag. She dropped the Mando bag. She could have been cashing out forever.
She's like the opposite of Taylor Heinicke. The same way Taylor Heinicke had one good game and made $8 million, Cara Dune has like her own Star Wars series and is like, you know what? I'd rather be anti-Semitic.
Cool. Never liked Cara Dune.
Me neither.
I always thought that was like dead weight within the Mando narrative.
Well, I've been trying to find if there's any non-hideously offensive way to tweet something like. You know, on the one hand, I'm glad that justice is served and that her bad opinions are not rewarded. But I'm mainly just happy that I don't have to watch her terrible acting anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest win for anybody out of all this. Anyway, no, Matt Ryan, he just annoys me. He's like Brad Johnson, only even less dynamic.
Good. I love these comps that we're coming up with. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Matt Ryan was MVP like 3 years ago.
Yes. It's kind of totally crazy. Uninteresting. Could not interest me less. All right. I believe I have
now. We're at,
I said that somebody was down at 2I and then some Roman numeral. We are now at 2I, the assorted lesser options. Let's try to do these as a speed round.
Yeah. No more interrobangs in this group.
More interrobangs of why am I wasting my time typing this? Jacoby Brissett, yes or no?
No.
No, me neither. So the question for these guys, all of them, is would you add them to the Heinicke Allen mix or would you just pass on them all together, regardless of what you need to give up? I say I have no interest in having Brissett. Trubisky.
No.
Agreed.
I feel like he's even more. I mean, he's like one of those top three pick guys, but I feel like he has shown beyond much of a doubt that he is not a starting caliber NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's another one that I'm going to lump in with Brad Johnson. I'm noticing a trend with the people I lump in with Brad Johnson.
And Brissett, by the way, I just don't see a hierarchy. Like, if you just threw Brissett into the Allen Heinicke batch, like, I don't really know what the pecking order is there. So, no. Yeah,
and I don't see it. There's no specific gain, as opposed to the next guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, that would just be fun.
It would be fun. Now, the big downside to Fitzpatrick, I think, is that he's a guy where when he gets in, he'll throw for 6 touchdowns, and then we're all going to want him to start, and then we're kind of just spinning our wheels again. I think there's a real risk of that. He's not going to mentor the young guys or whatever.
But who are the young guys?
Taylor Heinicke.
I mean, aren't Heinicke and Allen both, like, older than 25? And well, I mean, neither one of them has ever been considered a prospect.
I'm decrepit, so they're all young guys to me. But yes, you're correct.
I would say this about Fitzpatrick, and probably this about Tyrod Taylor, who's the next one. I think I'd rather have either one of those guys than nothing at all.
And in this case, are you counting Kyle Allen and Taylor Heinicke as nothing at all?
Yes.
I feel that way about Tyrod. I don't feel that way about Fitzpatrick. I don't know why. Fitzpatrick would be super fun. Yeah. If they do sign him, it'll be a ball. But I'm not into it. There's the one where I referenced it earlier, 2.I. Roman numeral, little 5, Andy Dalton.
So here's my interrobang on Andy Dalton. Is at some point in December, I can't remember if it was like after the Washington-Dallas game or if I was just like watching a Dallas game, and the thought occurred to me, I might have said it on the pod, if we had Andy Dalton this year, we would be walking into the playoffs. Like, if you started Andy Dalton for 16 games instead of, like, the you know, quad quarterback monster of Haskins, who started like six or seven games, by the way.
What a waste of time that was.
Haskins, Smith, Allen, Heinicke. If you just had Dalton instead of those four, I think Washington goes like 9-7 instead of 7-9. You know, I'm not saying we signed Andy Dalton. It just illustrates how dire the situation is.
The strongest compliment I can give Andy Dalton is that he should definitely be somebody I compare to Brad Johnson dismissively, but he's not, which makes me think that maybe I have him a half step above Brad Johnson in my head and we should sign him. All right, I'm on board with Dalton for a budget deal, but that's not going to happen.
I don't know. All these guys are basically like, where I guess maybe some of them slot in slightly ahead of what we have, but you're not enthusiastic about any of them?
No, not at all. Teddy Bridgewater?
Very, like, hard same, except I'm not real sure with him. I don't know. I'm not real sure where he stands in this. Like, would you rather start Heinicke or Bridgewater week one?
Bridgewater, I think it's a competition. I think you have an actual honest to God quarterback competition, and whoever plays the best, you put him in. But I'd be fine. I'm fine with Bridgewater because I also don't think he's like super expensive.
Did he get like a $20 million deal from Carolina last year?
Yeah, probably.
Quarterbacks are expensive.
They really are, except for Taylor Heinicke, who is just a pocket change. Last one on this section of this list is one Cam Newton.
I want to say no.
Yeah, I want to say hard pass on that. Did not look good this year.
Here's the thing. At the beginning of the year, I thought he looked really good. It was like, wow, you know? But then it got so bad.
Yeah, and he's
a strange year.
He's not one where you're going to have a real live competition. If he comes in, he's going to be the starter. I don't want Cam or... I'm just not into the whole Cam experience circa 2021. If we could have had him 5 years ago, I would have been thrilled, but...
And no Jameis on here. I didn't see Jameis.
Oh, I forgot about Jameis. I'd take him. He's fine. He's in the Fitzmagic category of, well, it'd be entertaining at least.
I mean, you were talking about numbers earlier, right? Just last year, he had a 5,000-yard, 30-30 season, touchdowns, interceptions. For a team that went 7-9 and then this year won the Super Bowl.
Plus, by coming to Washington, he would play his games in Maryland where there's even more crab to steal. So that's great.
Oh, gosh, the crab combination there is elite.
I don't know. High level.
I'm interested. At least Jameis has my interest.
Yeah, he definitely
has my interest. I don't feel great about it, but he has my interest.
I also don't think he's going to be available, but that said, I would take him. Now I have we move on to 2.J, which is the two bad and also unlikely, even lesser options with Washington football ties. Number one here would be Robert Griffin III in a triumphant return.
Dude, I watched a Ravens game this year. I don't remember which one it was, where Lamar went out, or maybe RG3 started. I don't know. I was watching the Ravens and RG3 was playing quarterback, and it was as bad as I remember him being at his lowest lows.
Worse. It was a hard pass on RG3. Yeah. And then the next guy, I suddenly realized, you know, when Marty Herney came to town, everybody talked about how he had gotten his start with Bobby Beathard. Well, CJ Beathard, I believe, is actually a free agent. And if you look at his numbers, surprisingly, not nearly as bad as you thought they were. And he's obviously going to be super cheap. So if we just wanted a third, like, egg roll for the poo-poo platter, like, CJ Beathard could be your guy.
Could we somehow spin this into like it being like a FU to Shanahan since he was a San Francisco guy?
I guess the flip side is that, like, if he even remotely says to Kyle, like, hey man, you know, Washington's put out this good offer on me, I'm thinking about it, Kyle's gonna be like, under no circumstances should you do that. I like you as a human being and I don't want that to happen to you. So I don't know.
I kind of want the Shanahan Washington feud to continue. So that I'd be supportive for that reason alone.
I'll buy that.
So we didn't talk about the draft at all. Is that on here? Is that like 2II?
The draft is 2.K. Is draft somebody ? It didn't even get a full interrobang. Like, you know, I like the kid from Alabama if he falls, but I don't think any of these people, I have a totally different imaginary quarterback draft to everybody else. I think the kid from Alabama who I like goes higher. I think a couple of the random smaller school guys fall, but I don't really want them. I don't want them to trade up. That's the one thing I can safely say. If a quarterback they like falls to them at 19, go for it. But I do not want them to give up assets to roll the dice on a rookie quarterback. Where do you stand?
I think you're right. The only quarterback that gets mentioned in their range at 19 is Mac Jones from Alabama. That's like the only name I've seen in that area of the draft. And then there's like four dudes that are like top 10 that would be like trade up dudes. Mac Jones might even be a trade up dude. I don't know. Mac Jones scares me though, because I get like Haskins vibes. Like, of course you can put up insane video game numbers at Alabama as like a pocket pass. I mean, he had like AJ McCarron vibes with Mac Jones. So I'm not like real intrigued there. But I don't know. I just don't. Here's the thing. Overall, like, I don't know what Washington should do at quarterback. I don't think we've identified like one good option.
I don't either, which is why part of me says just keep taking the best players that are there in the draft, whoever it is, and keep building out. And if you don't solve quarterback this year, solve it next year. But I think giving up a lot of assets for an unproven quarterback is a huge, huge mistake. Giving up a lot of assets for a proven quarterback, you know, a Watson or a Dak or a Russell Wilson, sure. But
I don't think Watson, Wilson, or Dak are going to happen.
Correct. I agree.
And I think we need to avoid giving up like quality, you know, let's say a first round pick or whatever, for like a Carr, Wentz, whoever, Mariota, Darnold. I think the best scenario is probably somehow cherry picking one of these guys that we find to be somewhat interesting, like a Wentz or a Darnold. Maybe a Mariota, like trying to cherry pick one of those guys on the cheap and doing everything you just said, like drafting the best dudes, signing the best dudes, and kind of punting on quarterback while also bolstering the position a little bit with somebody else that you can add to the Heinicke Allen mix.
Right. I think the key is what you said when we were at, again, 2.i. little Roman numeral V. If Dalton had been the quarterback last year, this is at least a 9-win team and maybe a 10-win team. So by that logic, if Dalton were the quarterback next year and you beef up a receiver and a linebacker or something, I think you're in a similar place. I agree. I like where we've landed on this.
Well, here's the thing, though. A couple things conspiring against this here is like we're going to play a first place schedule this year. The NFC games against the NFC East. The NFC's got to be better this year.
Do they?
I just think like you could play the same level and go like 8-8. I'm sorry, you could play like about the same level as last year with like a worse record.
Yeah, you certainly could, but I don't know. I'd rather roll the dice on that than mortgage too much of the future. Now, the next item on the rundown was going to be the Wiz, but we're coming up on a hard stop. So let's skip the Wiz.
My summary on the Wiz is the season is so bad that they just went through a 3-3 stretch and it was celebrated.
Yes. Well, my counterpoint is I'm not even sure the NBA actually exists as far as I'm concerned. So.
Okay, fine.
But because I'm really curious about the last item on here, which is you're caught up on WandaVision. This totally blindsided.
Yeah. So I watched the first episode because they dropped the first two episodes at the same time. And I was like, I'm going to watch this. You had primed me for it. This is like the next big like Disney Plus event. I couldn't even make it through the first episode. It was such a struggle. I mean, by the way, semi spoiler zone here. Like you're gonna run into spoilers if you listen.
Assume we're spoiling through episode 5 all the way. So go ahead.
Yeah. So the whole first two episodes are set in like the 1960s sitcom scenario, black and white, laugh track. Like it's just, for me, it was a very tough watch. I'm like, that was a real struggle, and I set it down for like 2 weeks. I didn't even finish those first two episodes, but then I started yearning for the content, the content around the show. Like all my favorite like culture podcasts are talking about the show, and like there's recaps and there's stuff on Twitter. Like, oh, episode 4 was fucking crazy. Yeah, so I came back in and I binged through episode 5. I have no idea what's going on, but round about episode three, at least I started getting interested and I wasn't just like looking at my phone the entire time. And now I think I'm in. I need to do some education. I need to learn who's who, but I think I'm in.
Yeah, I can't imagine it making a lick of sense. Because am I correct in remembering you've seen the occasional Marvel movie, but not in any sort of like organized or focused fashion?
Out of all of the Marvel, Avengers, whatever movies, I saw exactly one, and I don't even remember what the name of it was. I think it might have been a Captain America. Was it? Are there a Captain America? I don't even know.
I know nothing.
I know
he's the gentleman in blue. He has the big shield. Yes.
Well, I just can't remember which one I saw. It was like Winter Soldier. Is that a Captain America movie?
Yeah.
I think that was the one I saw. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm completely out of it.
Well, if we only have like say 3 to 5 minutes, what's the one question you want to ask me about WandaVision, given this amount of time?
Okay.
Like what? What do you even make of this show? What are you attached to? I just can't even imagine.
Well, that's why it started getting good for me in like episode three, is because like there's this whole like outside of the bubble of the town they're in, and it's like the government or whatever is like trying to infiltrate and like save all the people that are being kind of held hostage by Wanda. Like that to me is all sort of interesting, you know, and it's like there's kind of layers are being peeled back. So like I'm interested in all that. But like I don't know who the fuck Wanda is. I don't know who the fuck Vision is. I don't know the significance of either of them. That dude who showed up at the end of episode five, which was supposed to be like a Skywalker level reveal, no idea who that dude is. Like, yeah, I have a lot of questions.
Okay, so the interesting thing listening to you is that part of the reason you can watch this because Wanda and Vision are hideously underdeveloped supporting characters from I think three previous Avengers related movies, but they're pretty underdeveloped. If you had never seen those movies, as you have not, you get the same level of attachment from them just knowing that, well, they're the stars of this, so they must be somewhat significant and they have some sort of romance and he's a robot and she's some sort of superpowered person. That's honestly all you would really get out of the movies. Also, yeah. The reveal at the end of episode five, while exciting, I think is only truly exciting if you really followed the IP rights, the movie rights for very specific elements of Marvel IP, because what they've done, there was a character who in the comic books that these are based on is Wanda's brother, Quicksilver, who is fast. Wanda and Quicksilver were both started in both the Avengers and the X-Men. So when the rights split, they were the few characters who were shared between them. Quicksilver was the only one who appeared in movies for both. And so what they've done is they've brought in the X-Men movies, Quicksilver, instead of the one who was in the Avengers movies. So within the language of the show, what's her name can look at it and say, oh my God, she's recast Pietro, and it somehow fits within the meta narrative of the TV of the show. But if you are a real nerd who's really into like the legal intellectual property aspect of your favorite fictional products, oh boy, was that a shock to the system at the end there.
So hold on. Let me parrot some of this back to you. Pietro. Is that another name for Quicksilver?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's his real name, or
he is not necessarily an X-Man or an Avenger, but he is in the narratives of the X-Men and the Avengers.
Correct. I hate doing these deep dives. I always feel so silly. But so in the comics, they were the two of them were both. On like one of the very early Avengers teams after the original ones, the first time they changed members, they brought on Wanda and Pietro. And then it was revealed later in the way that the comic book soap opera works that they were actually Magneto's kids. And Magneto is a big X-Men villain. So then they became sort of integral to the X-Men stories. So when the rights split, they were the ones where you couldn't cleanly say, oh, that's part of the Avengers family of characters or the X-Men family of characters. So they were sort of shared between them. So that's why that was sort of quasi-significant. But again, what I like about the show is that it works on a lot of levels, and I think it's just really well executed for what it is, like divorced from everything else. And the way they've been doing the sort of creepy background, like people keep calling it Lynchian, which I think is a bit of a reach, but my son has been getting genuinely like creeped out by it. Like we finished the episodes and he has that like post horror movie feel. I think it's really impressively executed. I'm going to be fascinated to watch this develop for you.
Yeah. I see. That's why I'm starting to get into it, is the creepy factor of like all these people in Wanda and Vision's lives are basically they're like captives, you know? So when they kind of break, yeah, there's very various points where you'll see just like the sheer terror when that kind of like, you know, smiley sitcom sheen wipes away and you see the terror of the different characters. I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's been really cool.
I'm kind of disappointed. You started talking about X-Men and I was like, X-Men is one of the few comics I was actually into as a child. So, you know, I thought we were going to go to like, I don't know, Nightcrawler or some shit. But here's the thing, like, I didn't watch any of the X-Men movies either.
Well, you didn't miss them.
When you talk about Marvel movies, do we count X-Men?
No, we do not. They were released They were released by Fox, but now that Marvel has acquired Disney has acquired the Fox intellectual property, Marvel, the X-Men, everybody's wondering how are they going to bring the X-Men into the Avengers universe, into the Marvel universe.
I'm hoping to springboard into the Marvel universe via WandaVision, because I know that Disney is just going to keep rolling out Marvel content and I don't want to be out in the cold. I want to be in the bubble with you. I want to be in the bubble with you and all my favorite podcasters. So I know what's going on.
I am here to help you in this journey. Let's actually maybe even reconvene next week just to do a quickie WandaVision podcast and see where we land.
I saw there's a Super Bowl trailer for the new show that's got like two Avengers in it.
Yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay, Falcon seemed exactly like the character from The Boys, the really fast character. Like his uniform looked exactly the same.
It is. There's definitely something similar. I think The Boys was sort of riffing on.
Was that a direct reference? Were they like the Falcon guy?
No, I think that I think it's more a commentary on how limited people are in envisioning how to write funny black characters, to be perfectly blunt. kind of think there's something to that in what The Boys is satirizing.
Yeah, well, just something about like the costume or whatever you call it. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's what you call it. That's definitely
like the goggles, everything. Just it was like the color, it was just a little like a color swap. Anyway, and on WandaVision, kind of, just want to say, I don't think you ever started Cobra Kai. Be careful, because once you start, you're gonna watch 30 episodes in like 4 days.
Well, I will try to watch at least some of that, and you keep with WandaVision, and maybe we'll do one of our rare pop culture only catch ups and see where we stand in a little bit.
All right. Sounds good, man.
Yeah, good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you too. I still don't know what to do about quarterback, but we'll see. We'll see. It's not up to us.
And thank God for that.
All right. Later.
Bye.